Now, we've got a couple of technical geniuses in the studio. So we welcome from Brightbulb, we've got Matt, general all-round nice bloke.
Yep.
And we've also got Shane as well.
Yep.
And so you are like, you know, technical geniuses. But the first thing that we're going to talk about is we're not going to talk about Brightbulb and technical stuff. We're going to talk about mince pies.
That's right, yeah.
So come on, why mince pies?
Okay, so we've recently set up a, well, it's been going a few weeks now, a charity initiative for the White Brainy Bunch called the Mince Pie Marathon. And within that, the idea and premise of it is that we get given mince pies by our big supermarkets like Sainsbury's and Waitrose, Tesco's, Asda, and several others, and we get businesses to buy the mince pies of us, and in a single day we have to deliver all these mince pies. That's how it all was all set up, and we've actually already sold over 2,500 mince pies, and over 80 stops I think we've got to deliver to in a single day. So it's actually become a really, it's you know, businesses have taken it to the heart and have all got different ideas about things they can do with the mince pies. Some of them are donating to charities. Some businesses are buying 200 mince pies a go. So it's fantastic. Really, really well, and great engagement.
Good grief. So 2,500 mince pies?
So far, over 2,500 sold so far. And so it's been quite a logistic mission to get to all, that's what it's going to be, to get to all the businesses.
So you haven't done it yet?
No, it's on the 18th of December. You can still, as businesses can still buy mince pies. They go to mincepiemarathon.co.uk. So you can buy through the form there as many mince pies as you want for your business, for your staff, or a Christmas treat or something, and we'll deliver them to you on that day. We'll have it'll be quite a nice PR thing. We've got London cabs that we're going to be driving around in, delivering the mince pies and other vehicles. We have our own little t-shirts and stuff, so you'll be able to see it spots a mile away. So yeah, it's all going to be it's going to be a really nice sort of PR event as well for your business. So social media, hashtag mince pie marathon, and so there's other things that you get out of it as well.
So we'll talk about that in a moment, but you're going to... So this time next week, isn't it? It's a week away.
Yes, yeah, on Wednesday. Yeah.
So you and all the rest of the team?
Yeah, the whole team are out for this, so it's a day off from the office. Yeah. So we've got... We're probably going to split into maybe three teams at the end of it, just to try and get around to everybody in time. So we might have Shane driving, me driving, Fee driving or something, and going out to all the different businesses. Some of them will try to approach all as one team, but depends on how time goes by and how quickly we need to get to these companies before they close. So it all has to be done in one day, so that's the key.
Yeah, I suppose they've got to be open as well. So what time have you got to start then?
Well, we're not sure yet. Once we've got the final day you can order mince pies is the 16th of December.
Right.
And then we'll put a logistics plan into place as to we need to hit these places first. We actually developed, Shane developed a little map on the website so that anytime you put an order in, it instantly populates the map as to where they are, so we can start building locations as to the best places to go, what the most populated areas are, which tend to be Newport, Ryde, I think.
Yeah.
And so we can sort of hit those in one go and go on to the next location. So,
are you happy about this, Shane? Because it means coming out from behind that desk.
It's going to be a really busy day on Wednesday. It really is. So,
what time are you planning on getting to bed?
Wow, I'm hoping we'll have a 31. We'll get it all done. There's, 80 stops. Well, 78 stops, I think, so far.
It's a lot of stops on the island, isn't it?
We've got three teams, so I think we'll make it. I think we'll manage it.
Yeah, we've got more people who are likely to still order before then as well. So we might even end up hitting 100 stops or something. So
how brilliant would that be?
Yeah, it'd be great. And it's all for the White Brainy Bunch. So they're a charity, you may know, they deal with brain tumours. Not a lot of money spent on research for this type of illness, and it's actually one of the biggest killers. And so all of that money, it was a pound of mince pie, so every pound goes to the charity. So that's over £2,500 raised for them already. We're hoping to hit 3,000, should be fantastic. When I started this, I was hoping to hit 500, but now I'm hoping for 3,000 now.
Yeah, that's it, wasn't it? That counter kept going up and up and up, and it was like, we get 500, then we thought, 1,000, we'll probably hit 1,000, and then suddenly it went past 1,000, and now we're...
And that was it. Yeah, but we've got so many, you know, Hover Travel have bought 155, and they're going to try and sell them on to some of their customers to make further money for the charity. We've got people setting up mince pie tea parties and stuff, businesses And yeah, there's all sorts of things that they're turning it into. So these businesses are getting the mince pies and turning it into something else. So it's a really nice sort of thing. It was great, obviously, Christmas time as well. But the engagement has been phenomenal. I mean, Vesta's just bought 210 mince pies. So they're the top of the leaderboard at the moment. So if anybody wants to try and beat Vesta's, you go for it.
210 they
yeah.
bought.
210.
Yeah. I hate mince pies.
Oh,
do you like mince pies?
Yeah, I love mince pies.
All right,
so I love mince pies. We've sat there with a massive tower of mince pies in the office at the moment. So
yeah, we turned it into a Christmas tree of mince pies.
Don't tell Connor because he loves mince pies as well. We had that discussion a little while ago. It's brilliant. This is the first time you've done it.
Yeah, it's the first time, and it's like I say, it's just taken us by surprise really as to how well engaged it's been, and people actually really love it. So we're kind of really proud of it actually, and for all the money going to the charity is phenomenal, because they are chosen charity of the year. So every year we choose a charity to help. Last year it was the Care and Cancer Trust, which we raised money for, and this year the White Brainy Bunch. So we're doing everything we can this year to raise money for them.
Okay. Are you going to do this every year?
We're looking now to potentially do this next year again, on maybe a grander scale. So come back with a vengeance.
Good for you. Good for you. What a fantastic thing, though. You know, $3,000 is now the target, and it's probably very doable. And just give out the details again. If people want to get involved...
Yep. If you go to www.mincepiemarathon.co.uk, just go on there, put your details in, put the number of mince pies that you'd like to order, press pay, and it will go through to PayPal. Just simply either use credit card or pay by PayPal, and then the order will be placed directly into the map, and we'll know where to go, and but your mince pies will be allocated to you, and we'll see you on the 18th.
Brilliant. Look, I know that you're going to come on board in 2020. Can't believe that's only a couple of weeks away, isn't it? Three weeks today. It'll be New Year's Day, won't it?
Yeah,
it will be 2020.
It's going too quick.
You're going to be doing talking features. Now, what I'd like to do is, because you're coming on board, can we, talk about a commercial that we can run for you that will be free for the charity of your choice?
Yeah.
For the next 12 months, which will be the definitely. White Brainy Bunch.
That'd be fantastic. That'd be phenomenal for them.
Just what you said about them. Just hey, look, every little bit of support
everything
helps.
Can help. So anything we can do for them would be great. Like I say, we always focus on a specific smaller charity on the island that doesn't necessarily get all of the help that the bigger charities do.
Definitely.
I mean, as much as I love the Mountbattens and everybody else on the big charities on the island and on the mainland, but some of these smaller charities really need help. So anything you guys could do in that respect would be amazing.
We'll talk about that in a little while.
Excellent. Yeah,
fantastic. Good luck with that. I hope it goes really, really well, and I hope you're not too late to bed, Shane.
I hope not.
Is there a couple of mince pies that you can sort of have yourself, or is it all day you're going to be sat with these things, tempted? But
I think we might be able to sneak in a couple of mince pies. I reckon.
Depends if we've got any left.
Yeah, that's it.
All right, watch this space then. This time next week you'll be hard at it.
Yeah,
and
tired.
And this time next year it'll be even bigger than this year.
Hopefully bigger and better than before. And we've got plans of what we could do with it. So it's just a fun thing to do. And hopefully if people can come on board again next year, that would be fantastic.
Whose idea was it?
I had this idea 2 years ago. It was just sort of something I've dreamed up and never got round to doing it. And then when the White Brainy Bunch came on board, we had an initial meeting with them. And to say, you're going to be our charity of the year. And that I suddenly said, well, I've been thinking about this mince pie marathon thing for a couple of years, so why don't we do that? And they sort of thought it sounded like a good idea, so we just developed it. I gave Shane he put the website together and all the functionality there, and so that it was easy for people to pay, because the key thing was make it simple. £1 a mince pie is easy, that's understandable, make it easy to pay, so it's really straightforward, and there's no barriers to entry, and it's just worked out really well.
No, brilliant. I say watch this space for next year, but good luck for next week. I hope it goes really, really
Thanks
well.
Thanks very much.
Let's hope we don't snow or anything like that.
Oh, God, that'd be a nightmare, wouldn't it?
Or somebody calls another general election on the same day.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, no politics. Yeah. Good luck with that. Let's talk technical now, then, because you've had a blinding year, haven't you?
Yeah. Since we started 5.5 years ago, we've kind of doubled year on year in everything we've done. It's been phenomenal, really. And now this year we've taken on Adam and Shane, and Shane being our sort of web and software developer, and he pretty much knows any coded language under the sun.
Wow, within reason.
It seems to be. He mentioned a new concept, a new idea, a new coding, and oh, and the next day he's learned it, and he's like, oh yeah, I've done this and that. And so having those skills on board is massive for us, because it means I can pass over all that work, and he can, you know, really just knock it out of the park. So
you can put your feet up. Not quite.
Deliver
mince pies.
I wish. But yeah, I mean, Shane's got a great background of a technology background. So I don't know if you want to talk about some of the
ways. Yeah. So I sort of went through college learning sort of about web design, web development, and then luckily I got a massive break and got into my first agency, being their main web developer. And I was there for a good 7 years developing websites for all over the island and the South Coast. Then got a break into game development, which is something I was really, that's sort of like an ambition of mine all throughout my childhood, to be a game developer. So I got the break into that industry, did that for 7 years. And now come back to doing web because I missed it so much. So, yeah, back doing web development.
Well, there's a young man. He's going to come in and ask a few questions, because he said a couple of months ago, I asked him a question, what would you want to do? And he said, I want to design games. He's really big on gaming. And we just thought, well, where'd you get started? So maybe you can help him with that, answer his questions. I know he's got quite a few, about 25. So you'd reach about 3 o'clock this afternoon.
All right, okay.
he'll be joining us. He's just having his lunch at the moment. I think he's sorting out the news as well. He's like news reader now. How can I get my watch to stop doing that?
Was that Siri?
Yeah, Siri. But Siri, whenever that happens quite regularly. I never even mentioned her. And when you do mention her, she ignores you.
Same happens at home with Alexa. We've got Alexa and it just suddenly starts talking out of the blue when something's on the TV. It's like, what?
We do apologise for everybody now that's got an Alexa that's just gone. Oh, yeah. It drives me crazy. Yeah. And I'm sure that Curry on a Saturday, he does a show, I'm at home and he's forever talking about Echo and Alexa, and all of a sudden it goes bedlam in our house. It really does. Anyways, there was a couple of questions. Going back to web design, I did some kind of course about 15, 16 years ago, and it was like an online course to learn about web design.
Right.
And after a period of time, it just become, well, just dated. You know, I don't use things like Boolean words and stuff like that. It was just that just popped into my head. I don't know why, but there's all these things, and I think that must be so outdated now because there's totally different codes and easier ways of doing it.
It's one of those things that's constantly evolving. So you've always got to be on top of what the latest things are that are coming out. Compared to when I first started developing websites, and I look at it now, it's the difference is huge. There's so much more technology, better ways of doing stuff, and it's literally every day there's something new coming out. Some new tech companies come out with something, some new product that's going to take the world by storm. So it's, as much as we're doing work for our clients, there's also a huge amount of learning and teaching ourselves what's coming up, what's new, what's going to be the next big thing to market. Because otherwise you'll just get left behind. So it's an ever-evolving...
How long would it have taken you to do some kind of, web talk, spiel, all those like digits and things, you know, like, but compared to now because of the technology has changed? If you were to go back like 20-odd years...
Yeah, so I think the time it takes to do sites now, I think it's still roughly about the same. There's just more to it. There's just more stuff that it can do now compared to what you could do back then. The sort of the way you build a website is changing all the time. But I think the time to actually build a site, I think there certainly is some speed boosts that have happened through new technology, and that you can definitely get a website to market quicker nowadays. But it's all the extra stuff now that you also want to put on your website, like whether it be video footage or chat apps and stuff like this, or you want to go to market with an actual application that's on your phone.
But there's also a load of there's so many technologies now. So we were doing a presentation at the Isle of Wight College yesterday for the design students, just talking about Brightbulb, where we've come from, and one of the questions at the end of that was what web technologies do you work with, and literally was like WordPress, Drupal, Expression Engine, Flutter, Unity, Ionic, and we were just listing this massive long list. They're like, because there's so many different technologies that you can be using, and we use a vast array of these different things, and there's different technologies that work better for different circumstances. So
Flutter.
Shane could tell you more about these sort of things.
Yeah, so that's a framework for mobile app development.
Yeah.
There's all sorts of frameworks that have been built that help you build websites or applications quicker. A lot of it comes down to what you're building it for. So some frameworks are going to be better for a certain purpose. A lot of it is down to preference as well. Like, it's just sometimes something's easier to pick up, or you prefer the way that this works. But every day there's a new framework coming out to learn how a website's built.
So do you give advice to sort of people that, just so for instance, there's lots of sites that you can have that will make you money and so on? Because I'm guessing that, you know, some of the irritating stuff, I mean, I'm not saying you guys do this, but do you advise against? I mean, there's one, I look on these sites sometimes, I go to Google on the iPad, and you get all these like news clips come up, and you think, oh, there's some latest news on Arsenal, so you click on that. Not that you'd want that these days, you know, the news is not good. and all of a sudden you get these things that cover up the page,
right?
So you've got to close them down before. Do you like advise people against all of that, or is there a reason why they're doing it?
I think it comes down to the main aim of the website. I mean, for a lot of websites, advertising is massively key. That's how they make their money. So that's how they make their money, by making sure that people see their adverts. Typically with like a small business website, you wouldn't necessarily, we'd advise against doing stuff like that covers up content on the page. But if we were approaching a website for a news company or something like that, we probably would say, well, that is the way to go. That's how you're going to generate your revenue.
There might be other call to action. So, for instance, some people might want a thing to pop up to register to their newsletter. So that's a thing that would more likely happen on a brand website.
Yeah.
And whereby they're trying to drive people to actually register so they can deliver more content over email, through MailChimp and things like that. so that's another pop-up thing that can be irritating at times, but actually serves a purpose.
Should we be a bit more friendly then, and say, let's click on it, send me the stuff, it's fine?
I mean, it's totally your decision, isn't it, at the end of the day? It gives you the option, it brings that option to the forefront more so than you looking around to find somewhere. And so it's just a really, you know, it's a quick and small piece of engagement that says, you know, if you'd like to know more, just put your email in and
submit. Sure.
So it's also very quick to turn off and say no.
Yeah, I mean, we are a bit standoffish sometimes. I mean, I imagine this is the same thing being when you walk in the town and somebody's trying to give you a leaflet that entitles you to something, and we go, whoa, no thanks, and we walk by and think, well, it's free. And I would imagine it's a similar thing. And all you've got to do is either click yes or click no, and away you go.
It just gives you the option. And, it's the same, exactly the same sort of thing as you're saying in the street. You know, you've decided to take that leaflet or you decide not to.
Yeah.
It gives you the options in your hands, but at least it's being presented to you.
How many current websites are you working on?
Well, at the moment there's probably in double figures, isn't it? Yeah. At the moment, I think. Yeah.
Do you ever get, like, you know, you've had a bad day, and because we all get them, and put something on the wrong website.
Put something
on the wrong website by accident.
I'm usually pretty good when it comes to
We have quite stringent processes.
You have something that protects you from that.
That wouldn't happen.
No, that's good.
Typically,
I wasn't trying to trip you up, by the way. I was just thinking, sometimes I'd be having a bad, oh, crikey, I've put that on the wrong website. What have I done?
Yeah, typically a lot of the development happens on, like, test sites anyway, so we'll develop on that site that isn't live, and then when we're ready, we'll then push that live. So there's no real chance of making a mistake.
Yeah. No.
Mistakes do happen from time to time, but, you know, it's...
Sure, of course they do. But, you know, not with you guys, though.
No,
they're pretty good.
Do you know what? Last week I visited PC Consultants, and they're coming in this week.
Oh, great.
John, next Wednesday.
Yeah,
so,
you
know, if you're delivering his mince pies, make sure you deliver one here.
He hasn't ordered yet, but he has said that he's going to order, so I'm just waiting for that one to come in. But I will push him on the 16th if he hasn't ordered yet.
Okay. we went down there, we had a little look, because he's got servers. Good grief, all that technology. Yeah, do you have to have that as well?
We have got our own server, and we've got, actually PC Consultants helped us put that in, because we work with them on a lot of their design stuff. So they put a unit in for us that has really high spec NAS unit in the... in the office, but also at home. And what they do is they sync together, so they sync to each other automatically, and they also sync to the cloud, so it gives us several backups for our clients' files, because that's so important to make sure all of our files are protected and encrypted and fully secure. And if our office fell into the creek, because it's on the Wootton Creek, we still would keep all our clients' files safe. So
don't say that, because it was a really high tide today. I was a bit worried about when I came down here this morning, it was like up above the, you know, and I'm thinking, whoa,
it is high, high
what
today,
about you at the creek?
Yeah, sometimes the car park gets a bit flooded.
And we've left Adam on his own as well, so he'll be floating in the creek probably.
You don't care because everything's backed up.
No, it's all right, I've got my car here, so that's fine.
That's why you said to drive.
Is Adam in the office listening?
Yeah,
I visited you in the summer, and I thought, what a lovely! I got such a good vibe when I came in,
nice,
and it's. I'm guessing you've
it's
got
a nice space
because you've got, you know, you're designing. You've got to be thinking of fresh things all the time. So I suppose you need that nice atmosphere where you can relax and you know, obviously work hard as well, Shane, because you won't get away with just.
I don't know.
Feet
he
up.
Works hard. Yeah, but no, it's we wanted to create a almost like a London design agency feel to it. So when we went in and sort of renovated the space, we got a giant sort of bulb chandelier type thing. We got fake grass in our boardroom, as you've seen,
and
sort of creative spaces, creative lab we call it, and a really nice sort of collaborative space for all of us to sit in and chat through things and stuff. And it just works really well, and the beautiful views as well out to the creek, especially in the summer, is stunning. I mean, absolutely stunning. And we get to see all sorts of things going on outside Wootton Creek and stuff, which is quite cool. Kayakers and people falling off boats and all sorts.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah, there's even a seal there. A baby seal arrived there. Stayed there for a couple of days, 1 week. So, yeah, there's all sorts of things going on in that creek.
There's such a good vibe. You know, when I visited, it was just such a nice place to visit. It was all of those things you just described. How does it compare? Because you mentioned London. You've got a place in London as well. How do the two compare? Not just sort of the setup, but how does the businesses compare? What needs have they got that are different to ours?
Yeah, so we've only just launched the London office. It's in Dalston Junction in London. So that's an offshoot office for Brightbulb. And we're actually going through the process of hiring a new designer lead up there as well at the moment, which we've just sort of finished up doing some interviews on. And that's really to work into more of the London market, because we do quite a lot of business with certain businesses in London, and trying to be closer to them and, you know, do more work with some of the people they work with. But it is quite a different... It's quite different, really, because on the island, it's a slightly slower pace. In London, it's the complete opposite. It's like everything was needed yesterday, and it's very, very fast-paced. But we're used to working that way because we've been working with London clients for years. So we're quite used to working at speed and getting things done properly and quickly and efficiently, and working hard to make sure it gets done. But that's the slight difference you get. Often in London, it would be like immediate response needed, whereas on the island, people tend to give you a little bit more time to think. So.
Well, see, I don't.
No.
I kind of think, no, come on, we've got technology now. Hurry up.
Yeah. Well, then, thankfully, we work on the London London way of doing
good.
Things, because it's like, because that's generally what we're doing a lot of the time anyhow. So, so we tend to turn things around pretty quickly and get it done properly. But that's the type of difference between the client, really.
Are they a different set team up there? Do you ever get some days out to London, Shane?
I'm hoping we get some days out. To
oh, yeah,
it's coming.
Yeah.
Like I say, we've only just opened. It's only open only a few weeks ago.
Right.
And so we haven't really... we're trying to develop our team up there at the moment. So we've got, we're just hiring a new designer to go in there full-time up there.
Brilliant.
And sort of develop that space. So, and we'll continue to build upon that.
It all sounds so positive.
Yeah, no, it's great. It's really good.
We're going to take a break. We're going to come back. We're going to get Connor in, because he's got lots of questions for you, Shane. He wants some help and advice. He's got age now where he's thinking, maybe I'll want to do that when I leave school. He's 16 at the moment, but he'll explain all of that in two ticks.
Yeah, that's great.
Merry Christmas from Vectis Radio, your community station.
Back at Medina Theatre by popular demand, Bobby Dazzler stars in Dick Whittington. Join Bobby, the fantastic cast and the cat as they try and defeat King Rat, regain Fitzwarren's fortune and reunite Alice and Dick Whittington. It's a fun-filled pantomime for the whole family. Dick Whittington at the Medina Theatre in Newport from the 21st until the 31st of December. Don't miss out. Book today. Call the box office 823-884 or visit medinatheatre.co.uk.
Island Harbour presents The Breeze Restaurant and Bar. We offer a variety of delicious foods which can be enjoyed inside the recently refurbished restaurant or outside overlooking the picturesque marina. Start your day well with something from our breakfast menu. Enjoy afternoon tea with a slice of freshly made cake or drop by for an evening meal with the family. We offer a range of tasty British classics with a choice of daily specials. Our produce is locally sourced to ensure quality and taste. The Breeze Restaurant and Bar, one of the Solent's best kept secrets. Call us today on 533-388.
As the nation's leading first aid charity, we at St John Ambulance believe nobody should die because they needed first aid and didn't get it. Yet only one in five of you would know what to do in the event of an emergency. So why not be the difference in your local community by volunteering with the St John Ambulance units at either Ryde or Newport? You'll learn life-saving skills which could be the difference between life and death.
Saturday night from 7. Join Dazza D for the mashup. Classic dance tracks and today's dance floor fillers.
Today's dance floor fillers.
Everything between the mashup with Dazza D on Vectis Radio 104.6 FM.
Stay social and get in tape. It's Vectis Not Radio. The World Wide Web never felt so local. So local.
Bitmorno is probably spotted by Plea Consents, the leading provider of IT service, consultancy and support to businesses, public sector and private clients across the island. PC Consultants, an award-winning company celebrating 25 years in business.
Version of Ola Moore, originally done by, Erasure all those years ago. 20 to 1, you listen to Vectis Radio. It's a lunchtime. We've got Matt in from Brightbulb Design. We've also got Shane in. He's the one that does all the work. And and Adam's just messaged.
Yeah,
in the office.
He is listening.
he is listening. Did he text to say he's off now because the water levels have gone really high?
I think it might be in the water already.
He's gone home, or he's gone home to get his wellies.
Yeah.
Okay, we've just been joined by Connor as well, and as just before the break, we were saying, Shane, you know, you got your lucky break, and hopefully Connor will get his lucky break. We asked him a little while ago, you know, what he wanted to do, and do you want to take the story out from here, Connor?
The story I wanted to do, I had, wait, what was the story again?
I asked you what you wanted to do by way of, you know, job-wise, and you said that I wouldn't mind having a crack at doing some design.
Oh, yeah,
Has somebody just handed you your questions?
Yeah.
How nice is Joe? Joe's just come in and handed you the questions.
Thanks, Joe.
Joe wants a job as well, then.
Right, anyway, my first question is...
Hang on, hold back.
Okay,
unless it's that design, you know, because you said basically you wanted to go into the design. What should he do? How can he get involved in it?
There's loads of different ways you can get into game development, game design. I mean, for me, it was something that I enjoyed doing. I liked playing computer games, like most kids my age did at the time when I started it. I just used to browse online. Like, there's so many like resources online for making games now compared to like 15 years ago. There was barely anything out there to develop games with. You had to like learn how to code to build any games. But now there's so many different programs that have been developed that you can download, most of them for free.
Yeah.
And then you can actually just start building your game. They're really easy. A lot of them are just drag and drop. You drag your stuff into it, and you can start designing your game from there.
Yeah.
So that's really where I would recommend starting is looking online, looking at all the different programs that are available.
Do you have to have like an idea for a rough game before you do that?
Yeah, I guess you'd have some sort of idea of what you may want to make as a game.
Yeah.
What have you got in your mind?
I was thinking of like a survival game, but an interesting, like with like an interesting concept, like you know Minecraft.
You could call it Connercept.
No.
Come on, that's a name, isn't it?
A name for that, for a kind of game like that, I don't think it would sell well. For it to be a good game, it has to have good content and a good catchy name.
Connercept.
I'm on board with you.
Yeah.
It's a great
thing. Come on, see?
Branding special.
3-1, you lost.
Oh, okay.
I'm liking the sound of that, though.
Yes, so, it's a survival game, but like a certain twist. It's like... I was just thinking of like a very like realistic kind of game. I know like some survival games have like a really, really realistic, some realistic features, but this one I want to be like really realistic. It's like if you eat the wrong food, you get food poisoning, or if you don't sleep as much,
you get grumpy.
Oh wow! What do you do when you're sleeping then? Do you just sit there and watch the screen?
Yeah. There's a sleeping monitor you need to keep track of.
See, that might be too realistic.
Yeah.
People want escapism, don't they? Mm.
Yeah.
Or do they? I mean, it sounds like a great idea, a concept for an for a game. I honestly work on it. Go for it.
I need the programs though.
Well, it's just that advice, isn't it?
Yeah.
And are the programs expensive?
No, I mean, in the last sort of maybe 5 or 6 years, a lot of these programs have actually been going for free now. So they're actually offering it to sort of indie hobbyist developers now. Mm. You know, years ago, the price of entry was so expensive. You're talking thousands and thousands of pounds to get into it. But now, you know, anyone in their bedroom can download this software now and just start building their own games, you know.
Yeah.
There you go. So you could do that.
Yeah.
Couldn't you?
Yeah.
What's your next question?
Oh, my next question is, what is the best thing about your job?
Huh. Oh, you've got to be careful now. Because the boss is over there. I didn't like the way he was rubbing his head. Yeah. This will be interesting.
saying the lunch break's probably not the best thing. It's just the variety of work that I deal with on a day-to-day basis. You know, no two websites are usually the same. You know, we've got clients all over the island and in London and the South Coast.
Yeah.
So really, it's the variety in what I'm building. They've all got different needs. So that's what I enjoy most about it. Just what? Going into it.
It's also developing into other platforms and learning, I suppose, learning some of the other things is probably quite a good fun.
Yeah, it's learning new things. Let's say new languages that come out that I need to know to build better websites or better apps, and keeping on top of that. Yeah. So, yeah, variety is what I enjoy most.
Yeah,
good for you. What made you start it all up? What made you sort of go into it all?
Well, I kind of got to a point where I wanted to do something different from where I was working. I wanted to see what I could achieve myself, and so it seemed like an obvious choice to sort of start out almost freelancing or having some sort of business, and it just sort of snowballed really. We started working with some fantastic clients pretty early on, AJ Wells for Charman Stoves, Tapnell Farm, you know, early sort of adopters, and that sort of helped us grow it really, because they're you know get to work with those clients and to tell other people and go, oh, if you work with them, maybe you come work with us, so it's really just for myself to try and show what I could do, you know, and what I could create, just for my own sort of self belief and trying to create something really special on the island. I felt that there was a design studio missing on the island that had what I thought we could give, we've now become one of the largest design studios on the island. So it's been a fantastic ride.
Well, good for you both. Honestly, I was going to ask you this question. Because you're both like whizzes with computers then. Yeah. Do you know when you hear of stories of being, when you're a doctor and you go somewhere and people are always saying, oh, doc, I've got this, I'll make an appointment, or I'm not even your doctor, but you're still badgering me. Do you get people like saying, I've got a problem with my computer, is there any chance you could help me out?
So I'm not a computer, like in terms of like web stuff, that's okay, but actual physical computer hardware and stuff, that's not my bag at all. No, Shane's quite good with that.
But just say, for instance, if you went round somebody's house for dinner,
oh yeah,
and they said, oh, I've got a bit of a problem with my computer, has that ever happened?
That has happened, yeah.
Yeah, all the time. Yeah.
What do you say? What do you say to get out of that? It's not my bag. Shane will come around.
I just say, no, I don't deal with hardware. the best thing is, we always work on Macs in our office, so I tend to say I don't work with PCs, so I don't know anything. Which actually, in truth, I do struggle to go on the PC platform now a lot, because it's just sort of so different to the Macs.
I know a man that does both. Yeah. So. do you get badgered like that then?
All the time, yeah. It's that, you build websites and stuff, you know how to fix this computer. I get it all the time. Family, friends, get phone calls. Computers stop working.
But see, it's the same thing. It's your job. You know, it's what you do and so on. And you think, it's just like a doctor saying, come on, I'm not in surgery now. Leave me alone.
You often get the people saying, can you just knock up a quick website for us? No, it's a process.
Cross that question off.
Well, number three.
What's your next question, Connor?
Okay, I'm not doing number three, so what skills do you need
to
do?
Oh, right.
Okay. what skills do you need to do your job?
Oh, to do my job.
Yeah.
So, I mean, for me, the level of web development that I do is I need to know some coding experience. Typically, I build a lot of my websites from scratch.
Yeah.
But for most web development, you can actually just get away with using tools that are already out on the web. Yeah. There's what's called content management systems that you can download, and you can put them up on the website. You know, there's hosting companies that you can get one through, and you can just build a website through them. The beauty of what we bring to it is we bring the skills and the design work to make them look great. So if you get one and get like a WordPress site, for example, typically it can take quite a lot of knowledge to make it look good. So that's where we come into it, and we can put our skills to make a nice design website. But in terms of what you need to learn, I mean, just the content management systems, you can learn those. That will give you enough information to actually develop a website and pages to a website and sort of news articles and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I got another question, because you must be working all the time on the future. You got websites. I mean, websites have been around for a few years now. So have apps.
Yeah.
What's the next big thing?
Well, well, we're working on all sorts of things. I mean, one of the things that we're sort of doing a lot in is around Alexa, actually, funnily enough, what we were saying before.
Don't do that!
And, there it goes again. but voice search is becoming a really big thing. So I think about by the end of next year, like about 50% of searches will be on, like, voice searches will be on Alexa or Google. So it's becoming a bigger market to drive. And there's obviously marketing can go into that. So you can actually market through Alexas and Google and stuff like that. So that's becoming quite an interesting platform for all sorts of different things. So you could be using it for, you know, one day with some AI, artificial intelligence as well, you could be ringing up your doctor's surgery through Alexa. He's like, set me an appointment, get me a doctor's appointment, and Alexa rings the receptionist, sets that appointment, and puts it in your diary. So there's all sorts of technology that can be done. I mean, this is, that's the next big thing, I think, is that sort of voice search stuff is becoming massive.
They've got to improve that voice thing, though, haven't they?
Well, they've got Samuel L. Jackson doing one, doing a version for Alexa now.
Have I?
So you can actually switch that, but I think it's a little, maybe not for the younger audience, perhaps.
How cool is that? That would be really, really good.
Yeah.
But it's what I meant was that they would have to, because I must admit there's a massive difference with, just say, for instance, if you're talking into your iPhone, you can dictate.
Yeah.
And I noticed the other day that what I've now got is the Mac is now set up so you can actually talk to it and it types it all for you as well. Mm. But it's much clearer and it's much better. Mm. And much, much better. It's because I'm guessing I'm using a proper microphone, whereas the built-in microphone, even though they're really, really good, but there's a massive difference between talking to the phone and getting it to type out what you want and doing it on a Mac. Yeah. And that's something that we'll have to sort out, because otherwise that phone call that you think you're phoning the doctor, that you're phoning Dave or someone else.
Yeah.
So they've got to improve that.
It's funny, they have done... There's a video I'd have to share with you, but it's a Google one, of someone... it was in the middle of a presentation in front of a sort of a keynote speech. They actually did a test of, they said to Google, set me a hairdresser's appointment, and it live called up the hairdressers, asked a few questions, and something came up that threw Google a little bit, but it reversed back to what it said previously, and the person on the phone responded in a way that made sense, and then it set the appointment, and it actually booked the appointment, and that was a live thing that they did with the hairdresser, who didn't even know what was going on. So that is quite incredible. That was using artificial intelligence and voice activation. It was quite incredible how it set that appointment, and the person on the phone had no idea. It sounded like a real person. It wasn't like the sort of Alexa voice. It was more...
I mean, it's brilliant how it is now, but you just imagine how much better that's going to be in a few years' time when technology is even better.
Yeah. I mean, you think how many people have an Alexa or a Google in their house already. I mean, the little dots are 20 quid a go, so that's very low barrier to entry, and everybody seems to have one, so it's definitely becoming a big online push. So for us, we're doing a fair bit down that road, so...
Yeah, do you know what? There's something that just popped into my head. Maybe you'll be able to answer this. There's, we're talking Apple technology. You can do that, and I don't want to do it because it will set them all off. You do that hey thing.
Hey Siri. Yeah.
Sorry. That's what you said it quietly. Because that's what happens. It sets them all off. But you can't ask it to answer the phone. How daft is that?
Interesting. Yeah.
So is there something you can do? Is that something you could design?
I don't know. I've never really thought about that, to be honest. I don't know. Yeah, I haven't really...
That's the one thing. Just say for instance, if you're...
Be built in?
No, well, say if you've got an iPhone and you're doing the washing up, and it's, you know, it's on the side, but your hands are wet, you can't ask the phone to be answered.
Oh, I didn't know that, actually. I didn't realise you can do that. Just thought that was a feature that was possible.
Well, apparently you can't. You can't do it. I've tried it.
Okay. No, I didn't know that, actually.
No, so maybe there's
something in that.
Yeah, I've given you... You can have that one for free, all right? You can take that one away, because is that sort of thing you...
Let's hope Apple aren't hearing him. I'll take this idea already.
Well, you know, someone's got to come up with the idea, haven't they?
Yeah.
And it does everything else. You can ask it to, hey... And it will, you know, it will sing to you, it will do all of those things, it will open, but it can't answer the phone.
It's funny.
Yeah, that's a strange one, isn't it?
We could try it. When you get back in the office, if Adam is still there, you could try it out and see.
Yeah, we'll give that a go.
But I reckon that's maybe something you could look into as well. Design something.
Could be something in it.
Could be millions in it. All right, just remember us. Yeah,
We'll remember you.
Well, I hope so. What's your next question, Connor?
My next question is, how many people work at Bright Bob, and do you take people for work experience?
So we do currently there's me, Fee, Shane, Adam, Vicky, there's Dale, who does sort of some development stuff, Martin, who's just started with us, who else have we got? Is that it? Oh, we've got Caitlin's our work experience girl, so she is doing work experience with us currently, every Friday, and that's it. So we do work experience, but we kind of take, I can't remember how long Caitlin's with us for, but we take it sort of, once she goes, we'll try and get another person in. We're looking at maybe doing it so that we can rotate on different days, but it's just the management of that, which is the thing, because there's quite a lot. You need to give them briefs and stuff and try and help them out as well. So there's a fair bit of management with the work experience, but it's really great for them to learn.
Are you offering, Connor? Is it the sort of thing you'd like to go and do work experience at?
Come and help me with some websites.
Maybe if it's just for a week. Just go along there for a week. Yeah?
Yeah.
Don't go when it's high tides, though. They don't treat their staff very well.
Speaking of high tides, when me and Nicola was walking up to the studio, the water at just up the bridge was like that close from reaching the top.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. It was high today.
It was really high.
That's Adam getting his own bag. He's got a little bucket down there, and he's like pushing it all down your way.
So I would have to buy a little rubber ring that you can sit in, so when it does go up, he'll still float.
Well, we are looking to get a couple of kayaks actually for the summer, so we'll be a bit more prepared.
God, what a business that is! Yeah. I mean, it's all nice and relaxed. You've got that grass thing going on the floor. We should point out, and you've got that nice relaxed vibe. You've got the brilliant views, and now you're getting everybody kayaks.
Well,
no wonder he wants to do work experiences. So do I. So it's been a blinding year. You've gone from, you know, you're busy anyway, but now you've opened up another business in London. That sounds fabulous, and long may it continue. You got one more question there, Connor? Which is the one you didn't ask?
I think I've asked all of them.
What about
number one, my dream job is to design my own video games, so what advice would you give me?
Yeah, so for that, I mean, I would, you know, get your design, write it down somewhere, you know, plan it out, see what you need basically to build your game, and then go onto the internet and just look at game design references. There's loads of tools that you can download to start building your game. There's loads of like YouTube videos was a big thing for me when I was wanting to learn how to do stuff. So do a Google search on YouTube for some videos to watch. There's thousands of them, and just go from there really. Once you've got the tools in front of you can go crazy and start making your own games.
I didn't think he was going to give you all that advice, because he might think, well, hang on a minute, he might come along and replace me in a couple of years' time. You know what these kids are like. So, I mean, how do you keep on it when it comes down to the technology? Because obviously, you guys are fairly young. Is that why you employ a couple of young people in the office? Because they're like looking at the next new big thing?
It's funny, we're always looking for the next big thing in design and web and tech. I mean, we work a lot with London people, and that tends to be quite a big tech hub up there for all sorts of things, like the latest trends and stuff. So we're quite lucky in that respect that we've got London to feedbacks information from for our island clients as well, so we can always be ahead of the game. But Shane's very much into all the different technologies that are around as well. We always keeps up to date with everything that's coming. There's all sorts of, you know, things you can do, looking up, just seeing what's going on, seeing what the latest things are. But we're quite lucky to get those trends from London.
Excellent.
But we're always trying to stay on top of the tech.
And it helps to have young people around as well, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, look, it's been a pleasure to spend some time with you this weekend. I hope next Wednesday goes really, really well. Just give us the details for Bright Bulb again, if you want to get in touch.
If you want to get in touch, you can contact us at, go to our website, brightbulbdesign.co.uk. You can contact hello@brightbulbdesign.co.uk or call us on 01983 506 505.
We got to go. Thank you, guys, and thank you, Connor, as well.
Thank you. Vectis Radio.